lost in the fog of a cosmic storm. Floating on whimsical wavelengths is the norm. Dancing through the stars, chasing spectrums of light. Riding the waves that are just out of sight.
Welcome back to Whimsical Wavelengths, where we explain why wires never argue. They know how to stay grounded. And I'm your host, Dr. Jeffrey Zurich, and today is part two of Nikola Tesla. And the last time we went into a bit of his biographical information, a touch of trying to understand the person. But before we get into it, I just wanted to announce that I'm going to be giving away a Whimsical Wavelengths t-shirt. That's right. And how do you enter, you may ask? Well, you have to send me an email. I mean, the email's in the show notes, easy to find. And give me a suggestion for a future episode. And then we'll go into a draw and I'll use one of those random number generators equal to the number of people that show that sent me an email. And then we'll give away this beautiful t-shirt. If you want to know what it looks like, then it will be featured on the next episode as the cover art. And it also makes an appearance of me wearing it on the Tesla coil video. That's right, it can be yours. So, where we left off. Yes, people are weird. I mean, we all are. And of course, some more than others, myself included. Mr. Tesla also no different. Some of his accomplishments were covered last time. And again, not all of them were. There's only so much time in one episode, and only so much time in one life, i.e. mine. Tesla's ability to push forward on different aspects of engineering and science was phenomenal, to say the least. Many people were working on the similar things of Tesla. Technology was moving fast. What set him apart was the breadth of his accomplishments. Not just AC current, or just radio, or just transformers, or. Also, his personality was not something that can be easily pinned down. Especially now, after so much time has passed. My point is, he is hard to define, and therefore easy to allow our minds, without data, to fill in the gaps rightly or wrongly. And I'm not here as a psychologist. So let's look at the broader science. At the end of the last episode, wireless transmission of power, i.e. electricity, was briefly discussed. We left it at, it's possible, and being explored by companies now. Why is this important? Because Tesla's belief that he could harness wireless energy to provide limitless, free power to everyone. This led to the idea that powerful industrialists and governments suppressed his work to maintain control over the global energy market. Yes, I have seen it typed out on social media that Tesla's inventions could have provided free energy to the world. But they were buried to protect the interests of the energy companies. It's crazy. Given that, it's safe to say that energy companies had reasons to oppose any sort of free energy, as there goes their money, there goes their power. However, that simple sentence ignores science and what is actually was capable at the time or even today for that matter. If incentives had been different, taxes, research dollars, etc., could we be as a society further along this road towards wireless transmission of power instead of transmission lines? Yeah, conceivably, sure. But when compared to the technology at the time, you gotta remember, Nikola Tesla died in 1943, and the first functioning laser that was ever used happened in 1960 for the first time. So our ability to focus energy into a tight area to transmit it, let alone receive it, was just not there yet. And we haven't even got into the whole whether or not there is power to be harnessed. Today, however, most of us have some experience with this, with wireless power transmission. We have phones that's probably how you're listening to this right now. And most phones have the ability to wirelessly charge. So it's getting power projected over distance, just like Tesla dreamed. And it works the same way I described last time. The charger plugged into the wall creates a variable electromagnetic field near the surface where you place your phone onto charge. Then this induces an electrical current in the conductors around it. In the case of charging the phone, antennas are built specifically to take this standardized field and convert it back to electrical power, charging the phone battery. More specifically, this is called inductive coupling. There's a bad pickup line in there, maybe. You and I must be inductive coupling. I feel an electrical tingle every time you're near. Yeah, probably don't use that one. If the goal is to send power for long distances, much like those large transmission lines that we covered over last time, the overall premise to how you charge your phone on a magnetic charging pad is the same, but the resulting techniques are different. First, the EM field or wave needs to use higher frequencies than basically the radio spectrum, which is what a Tesla coil generates, and as well as those near surface chargers for our phones. And it needs to be concentrated into a beam. That is primarily done in the microwave or visible light portions of the electromagnetic spectrum. For visible light, it's lasers using photovoltaic cells, i.e. a solar panel, on the receiving end to be able to generate that power. But there's lots of issues with lasers. First, lasers can be dangerous. They carry a lot of power, and if you get hit by them with one, it's going to burn you. Also, weather can also cause 100% signal loss. So it definitely works, but it isn't practical for everyday earthbound operations. Microwaves are probably the most practical way to get it done. Because of the longer wavelength, though, it is less affected by weather. And, as I said last time, there are companies working in this space. To mention one, from New Zealand, MROD. No, I didn't talk to them before, and therefore I'm definitely not sponsored. They don't know I exist. But they have some pretty slick presentations. The point is that it's not a new idea. It also could be beamed, like the power, using microwave radiation from space. And obviously it's more complicated than it sounds. Periodically through time, but the first one, in 1978, NASA did a feasibility study, suggesting it would take and require a 1 kilometer diameter antenna in space to beam down to a 10 kilometer diameter Earth surface antenna. These sizes are required due to the wavelengths that we're dealing with in the microwave radiation. See, it always comes back to those sweet, sweet, whimsical wavelengths. So it would be expensive, but could it work? Oh, it's definitely technically feasible, but the economics of it? Well, that is still being debated. Currently, Iceland has plans to make it happen, beginning somewhere in 2030. But there's lots of hurdles. The largest thing we have ever built in space is the International Space Station, at 109 meters long from end to end. However, this Icelandic bid to making power come from space would require a 1.7 kilometer solar array and antenna. That is a huge undertaking. For those in the conspiracy space, they will say that's not the point. We should be able to generate our own for free, man. Nikola Tesla seemed to believe that there were long wavelength EM waves that could be used for generating limitless power. Unfortunately, that's just not the case. Not enough for modern technology, anyway. Much like we discussed when looking at the High Altitude Research Auroral Program, there, where you could buy a kit to control a cockroach, it's mind control. The point is that we can buy things and conduct our own experiments, just like with the cockroach. We can construct apparatuses looking for ways to get free power. And we haven't found any. Anyone can do it. We have way more technology than Tesla did at his time at our fingertips. We can buy it from just random stores. We can order it factory direct and do all of these experiments ourselves. The fact that no one is running around saying, I'm off the grid, man. Screw you, energy companies, tells us that it just doesn't work. And the closest that we have found is solar power, which might be misinformation in a sense. The first modern solar cell was created in 1954 at Bell Laboratories, and it was expensive and very inefficient. Per watt, it was 100 times more expensive than coal. Technology and new engineering has made solar power cheaper than coal today. It is a way better way to generate power than a coal power plant. And anyone can buy the gear and be independent from the big energy companies if they wanted to put the work in. Yeah, it takes a fair bit of work, and it takes some real technical know-how and that upfront cost of buying all the gear and then maintaining it. The real issue is the amount of power modern devices take. But Tesla's dream is sort of a reality for very tiny devices that need only milliwatts or less. You gotta remember, desktop computers, like the one I'm using to record this, draws 500 to thousands of watts. We're talking five orders of magnitude than what this little tiny device is that need only milliwatts. And these little devices can harvest and harness, scavenge from the variable EM noise that is coming from the sun, coming from us, coming from all of our technology. And these are little tiny sensors that be able to measure certain little things, but they are not what we expect from like being able to run a normal household. There is no free energy to be had out there at the levels to support the way we live. And to be honest, there's just no way that you could keep that a secret if there was, especially today in the internet age. With the right kit, we can make our own from the sun and wind, and perhaps fusion will get there. But there's just no free energy. It's unfortunate, but true. That covers our first conspiracy theory, or whatever you want to call it, of Nikola Tesla, and I would argue the most recognizable one. It's even covered by the epic rap battles of history, link in the show notes. It is also the easiest to show with hindsight it was just not possible. Energy can be, and perhaps should be, less expensive than it is. Which is more the political sphere, as that requires investment and political will. Most other conspiracies are more tied together, except the electric universe idea, and we'll do that one last. As previously described, Tesla died in 1943. The official cause of death is heart failure. I say official, not to cast shade, just stating what has been recorded. There is no evidence that it was anything else. In his later years, Nikola Tesla had become more inflexible. He no longer worked with companies or others, and therefore his prototypes and the like could not find the hands of those who could implement them. It became an applied versus pursuit of knowledge, of science, if you will. Nikola Tesla had become a purist in that pursuit of knowledge. Slowly, he became further and further from the center of innovation and more alone. Fading from the media, he died basically forgotten from public perception, although not by those who worked in the fields Nikola Tesla pushed forward. When he died, it was also World War II, with science and engineering playing a big part of the war effort. The U.S. was not going to take a chance that something in Tesla's notes or ideas could be used by their enemies. The government immediately took possession of Tesla's notes. Once the government gets involved, people's imaginations definitely get carried away, especially when that government is the United States of America. So even though Tesla was 86 years old, people looking back after decades, remember, conspiracy theories are always looking back, they started to suggest the U.S. government had involvement with his death. One thing Tesla had mentioned as a possible result from his work was a death ray. If he had real, documented plans for such a technology, then it could have been a big deal with respect to the ongoing war. Whoever could wield such a thing on the battlefield would have quite the advantage. Pausing just for a moment, let's keep in mind that lasers had not yet been invented, and contrary to the mythology of Nikola Tesla's work, while at the forefront of science and engineering, it wasn't alone. At the risk of repeating myself too much, Tesla pushed forward so many different topics from X-rays to AC current, radio, and a whole bunch of others. He was not the only one working on these things. Often others co-discovered or designed similar technologies contemporaneously, meaning at the same time, but only Tesla pushed in all of these directions. To summarize, Nikola Tesla was a great visionary, but he was not inventing or discovering aspects that were far out beyond the technology or the understanding of the time. A death ray would have been far beyond what was capable by anyone at the time. However, Tesla's claim was covered by the New York Times with the headline, Tesla, at 78, bears new death beam. Invention powerful enough to destroy 10,000 planes 250 miles away. He asserts defensive weapon only. Scientist in interview tells of apparatus that he says will kill without a trace. Yes, he made this claim 8 years before his death. He continued his claim up till his death. Tesla's description of the device he called Teleforce had been taken down in a handful of newspapers and interviews. Tesla said it could destroy anything approaching within 200 miles and will provide a wall of power in order to make any country, large or small, impregnable against armies, airplanes, and other means of attack. He claimed to have worked on the project since 1900. And said that it drew power from the ionosphere, which he called an invisible ball of energy surrounding the Earth. It also required the use of his 50-meter-tall Tesla coil. No demonstrations or the like were ever recorded. When pressed on how a beam like this was possible, he didn't give a straight answer, and would allude to laws of physics that have not yet been discovered. That really should seal the deal here. The mention here of the ionosphere is another marker that ties back to HARP, which we covered a few episodes ago. So it can destroy a plane 250 miles away, apparently. And at the time of World War II, planes were not full of computers, so to bring one down required a lot of physical damage to the wings, motor, or pilot. Force fields are also still not a thing. So, not sure how to take this. Is it possible that while Tesla was so good at creating and visualizing new technology, he also visualized new physics that doesn't exist to make it work? And quite frankly, I don't see any other way to think of it other than Nikola Tesla's imagination went too far. And that's really all I can realistically go into. And there's lots of variations of this conspiracy theory. And some of the other stuff that he gets into, it just gets, like, really weird stuff that is total pseudoscience. Like the electric universe and other similar ideas. Okay, well, maybe I will finish with the electric universe. Remember, science is about testing ideas, experimental, experimentation, and data. We have mathematical formulas from which we can predict results from electrical phenomenon, which include all aspects of the standard model. All of the known particles, like the electrons, belong in the standard model, as well as the makeup of the four fundamental forces: gravity, electromagnetic, strong nuclear force, and weak nuclear force. Everything we have created via technology and the like was created and can be explained by the standard model. There are areas where the standard model breaks down. Quantum gravity, for one. They exist. There are fundamentals of the universe we do not yet understand. There is so much left to be discovered. And it may require a rewrite of our understanding of how the universe works, including a rewrite of the standard model. But the most true model we know, the standard model, has gotten us this far and will hopefully take us a lot further. The electric universe is broadly a belief that the universe is ruled by electricity. Electrical phenomenon are the backbone of everything in this ideology, if you will. There are also so many variations. Most say gravity doesn't exist, or that it's just electromagnetic force. Challenging these champions of electric universe for a mathematical representation of this, and you will not get one. Or you'll get a link to something else with math in it. I once got into a conversation with somebody, before ChatGPT and other large language models, via social media, which implied math didn't matter because Einstein got something wrong. I think the phrase was, math had lost its luster. They even point to a self-published book on Amazon to back their claims. And when you really get down to it, there is no experimental evidence of the basics of electric universe. But that idea that electricity is the most important thing in constructing the world does share some of Nikola Tesla's thoughts. P- particularly later in his life.
Tesla saw energy and electricity as an incompressible fluid of constant quantity that could neither be destroyed nor created. Tesla once said, "If you wanted to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration." Okay, from here I need to go to the pseudoscience sites and publications to attempt to understand what this is really about, beyond what I've already described. And frankly, as I did this, I couldn't follow the logic. Just the lines weren't able to be connected. And maybe it's because I know some of the underlying data through physics. And although Tesla didn't come up with the electric universe, his thoughts and ideas definitely influenced it. Tesla also wasn't the only one that influenced this ideology. There were others, like Emanuel Velikovsky in 1950, who wrote a book called Worlds in Collision, where he suggested cosmic catastrophe were caused by electric interactions between planets and not gravity. Hashtag no math. Somewhere, somehow, his ideas also suggested Venus and Mars had chaotic orbits in the past and then reshaped Earth's surface. Anyway, all of this is easily proven false, and I don't understand why it's coming up in my search of the electric universe. You see, I am having a hard time following these lines of logic. They claim other scientific research and say it shows the electric universe is a real thing. However, the same research can be explained by the standard model with mathematics, like the Aurora Borealis. The grandfather of the electric universe was Heinz Elfvin. He won the 1970 Nobel Prize in Physics for his work on a magnetohydrodynamics. He was an odd person with unorthodox opinions. One colleague, R.H. Stewer, said, "He remains an embittered outsider, winning little respect from other scientists, even after he received the Nobel Prize." Because of the peer review process, he was often forced to publish his papers in obscure journals. But his work, the work that is really the foundations of the electric universe, is plasma cosmology. In it, it puts forth a different explanation for the origin of the universe. In other words, the Big Bang never happened. See, the plasma cosmology idea suggested that the universe had no beginning, no end, and that plasma, through electromagnetic forces, had done more to organize matter into the star systems and galaxies than gravity. See, we're starting to come back to a similar train of thought than as to what Tesla had. And again, there's no math to show how these forces could act and build galaxies. We now have large computer models. Now, true, they didn't exist back when he posited his idea, but today we have these models that can predict galaxies' shapes and evolution through math and modeling physical properties. And they do a really great job and allow us to look at cosmology in a different way. And gravity is there in all of it, basically showing that the electric universe is not a feasible representation of our universe. The electric universe does create a model that is, one, easier to fit into religious teachings. If it had no beginning or end, it also talks in more of an absolute sense of making concrete statements instead of all the data that has taken us to this point, but there's still questions to remain. And two, it provides an avenue to disregard or attack or, I don't know, be a rebel without a cause, standard scientific thought. I guess pretend to be punk rock via thought. And I say pretend because punk rock is valuable, with important things to say. The electric universe? Not so much. And really, that's as far as I want to take this topic, because I can't follow the lines of logic. And I'm sure that the person who really believes this stuff would be like, "Man, you're just being a sheep. You just need to wake up. You're like indoctrinated, man." Ugh. Look, Tesla was an enigmatic person. He was at the forefront of science and engineering. but he was never way out in front of it. He did not find or use undiscovered physical properties or physics that are still a mystery today. That's just the truth. He was a weird dude with some weird ideas, especially later in life. But he was also an amazing visionary and able to change the world. Yeah, like I said at the very beginning in part one, he's complicated. So with that, I hope everyone has an amazing 2025 and Happy New Year. I know it'll be amazing because of Whimsical Wavelengths. It's going to be a fun year. Get me your show suggestion via email and have a chance to win a coveted t-shirt. And if you have not yet, subscribe. Leave a 5-star rating. Do a little writing to go with it. Suggest it to a friend. Amplify the social media posts. Help others get the auditory dose of science. Till next time.
Lost in the fog of a cosmic storm, floating on whimsical wavelengths is the norm. Dancing through the stars, chasing spectrums of light, riding the waves that are just out of sight. In a world so chaotic that misbehaves, melodies that echo show us six always. Colors intertwine, painting the sky. We're lost in the rhythm as the universe flies by. Oh, we're tuned in, feeling the beat of the unknown. Can you hear it? It's echoing through your bones. In this melodic maze we live.